Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Mavis and Daryl McCovey.
Mavis and Daryl McCovey. The first time I saw Daryl McCovey, I was 15 years old and didn't know who he was. So I asked somebody and said that I wanted to meet him. She said, "You don't want to meet him. He's no good," because he drank and partied around. I told her, "Well, I'm going to meet him." Daryl's brother, Cart, had told him that I would be perfect for him. He said, "You'd like her. She's crazy." Daryl told him, "I don't want to meet no crazy woman." When I was 17 and Daryl and I wanted to be married, my Aunt Caroline objected, but my grandfather was dead by then, and she gave me her permission, even though she did not like me marrying back into the hard life that went with my marrying Daryl. Because the Yurok Indians, who were Daryl's family, were poor and had hard lives on their Yurok reservation. They had to work harder and go further to find work than we did up here in Orleans, where logging had opened up and a new veneer mill and jobs were available. She wanted me to marry a white man because she thought I would have an easier life, and she wanted me to pass for white. I had green eyes and my skin was light enough that it was dark for a white person, but it still was in that range, and my hair had a lot of gold and red highlights and looked lighter than it was. I didn't like her attitude. It was very subtle, but I was aware of it through my intuition. I am attuned to slight variations, and I always felt like white men thought they were better than I was. It would be hard enough to get along with a man if he thought he was better than you because he was a man, let alone if he thought he was better than you because of your race, too. Daryl and I and two other couples were married in 1951 after Daryl was paid his share for land taken from California Indians by the government, $150. The Sacramento Bee ran a story about May 19, 1951, captioned, "All in One Day, California Indians Married in Reno." It told how Sadie had been a witness for the marriage of her two sons and a daughter. After we were married, Sadie bought us hot turkey sandwiches at a luncheon counter, and we walked around Reno for a while, looking in the windows at things. We didn't go into any casinos because we were too young, and Sadie wouldn't want to go in one anyway. On the way back, Daryl bought all seven of us fried chicken dinners in Weaverville. It was about 8 o'clock in the evening, and we were starting to go over the Weaverville grade, and there was a woman walking along the side of the road whose car had broken down farther up. We couldn't put any more people in the car, so we all got out and stood alongside of the road, and they picked up this woman because they didn't want to leave her walking alone all the way to Weaverville. They took her back into Weaverville and then came back and picked us up, and we went on down the road toward home. At marriage, a woman left her country and went to live with her husband's family if she married into another tribe. The daughters of medicine women and headmen learned the basics of four or five languages and other customs and other ways of being of other tribes near them, so they could get along if they married into that tribe. When you got to the other country, you stayed with your mother-in-law, and she taught you all their customs and all the things you had to do, because if you made a mistake in their customs, the family you had married into had to pay other people for your mistake. If you were in that upper class. If you were in that class, you were expected to have unimpeachable manners and not to do or say anything that was against their customs. When I married Daryl, my Yurok friend, Alberta said, "Awak, Mavis." Well, I knew what awak meant. So I said, "Why are you sorry for me?" She laughed and said, You're like my cousin Mona. When I was about 5, I kept saying, I'll walk, Mona. And my mother finally said, why are you sorry for Mona? I said, it's because she's blind. She got those eyes you can't see out of. Her mother laughed and said, no, that's just the color of her eyes. She had never seen gray or blue or green eyes. So when she saw me, she thought of Mona and started joking, saying, I'll walk, Mavis, to me, because I had green eyes. I never thought of that because almost everyone up here in Orleans was a half-breed, and there were very few even three-quarter breeds around Orleans. But there were a lot of quarter breeds with light eyes. When we got married, Daryl told his family they didn't have to like me. They just couldn't be mean to me. When I was a young mother, Myrtle said that my situation reminded her of her life. Both our husbands worked in the woods, and both wives followed them as they went from place to place working. Her mother took care of her children when she was away, and my aunt took care of mine when Daryl was away working, and I was with him. When you got married, your mother-in-law would teach you the customs of your husband's people and tell you how they did different things. We don't do that in your way down here. They weren't saying, you can't do that, or this is wrong. It's just that they don't do things that way down here. There were subtle differences in how the different tribes did things.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called Downriver Indian Devils. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper. Hey ya, hey yo, hey ya, hey yo.